verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dispersions, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its perfect effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Thank you. May be seated.
Let's begin with prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to be here together and to hear your word proclaimed. Father, I pray that you would help us to focus on you this morning. Help us to see you clearly through your word. Father, I pray that you would use your word in a mighty way to conform us to the image of your Son. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's 2020, if you didn't know that already. How many of you have messed up writing the date already, where you've wrote 19 instead of 20? Okay, figure that probably is going to happen at least for the next 2 months. Just because we're so used to writing 2019 that we're not ready to write 20 at the end of the date. But it's 2020, and with a new year come many exciting happenings, many things to look forward to, many things to anticipate. I am looking forward to seeing how God will work in my life. 2019 was an interesting year for me, and so I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in 2020. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in and through our church here at Grace this year. And I hope that you have some of those same hopes and some of those same excitements as you look to 2020. But with a new year, it can bring many different emotions other than excitement, as I just mentioned. In a new year, some may hope that they may have hope for a new year because the previous year did not go in the way that they desired or in the way that they intended. So some, as they look to a new year, may have hope that the new year will go better, more smoothly, or in some other way. Some may approach the new year with fear, as the past year was rough and painful and just not really looking forward to anything else coming down the road in 2020. Some may approach the new year with resolve, maybe resolve to live or think or to speak differently in the new year. And these are just a few of the emotions that may come as we look to a new year. You may have a different emotion that comes to your mind as you think of 2020 and what it may hold. What we might encounter. Maybe you're here this morning and you're unsure of how 2020 will pan out. Well, maybe you can connect with one of those emotions and maybe you can't. Maybe there's another one that you're thinking of. But what when we see a new year, it brings an opportunity for incredible joys. A new year may indeed pose new challenges to our lives, but we must remember that our great God is at work in our lives every day throughout every year, and it's he works in the good and in the difficult. And as we begin this new year, this 2020, I want to encourage us with a correct perspective as we begin the year. So as Robert read this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 1. So if you're not already there, please find James chapter 1. If you are in need of a Bible, there should be a pew Bible nearby. And if my looking was correct, it should be on page 1011, 1011 in the pew Bible, James chapter 1. Today, as we look at these verses, our big idea is that God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020. God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020. That's our big idea this morning. God wants to deepen your faith in him in the coming year. In this new year, we need the encouragement that our faith will grow in Christ in this year. As we begin to look at this passage, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we see James begin his letter by identifying himself somewhat. He says that James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We know how he describes himself, but we don't know who this man is. Well, many believe that this man, James, is the half-brother of Jesus. And that's who this James is. And he's writing to these Jewish believers who have been scattered due to persecution. That we see that in verse 1 there where it says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. At this time, after Jesus had ascended, these Jewish believers had to leave Jerusalem due to persecution coming from the Jewish religious leaders as well as the political emperor at that time. And so they had to leave. And so James is writing to these believers. He's writing to them so that they will have solid faith in God in a time of uncertainty, a time of having to leave their homes, of probably families, probably their job, and having to transplant somewhere else. And he's writing to them so that they would have solid faith in God. Maybe you have heard this, I have, that the letter of James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. And I think some of the reason for that is because a lot of the book of James seems kind of choppy, seems kind of just topics that James wanted to hit. But I think there's a central theme throughout it. And we see that laid here in these first verses of James 1, where he talks about faith and having solid, strong faith. So first, in our passage this morning in verse 2, we want to see that God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020 through your response to trials. God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020 through your response to trials. Verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Trials are not things that you and I look forward to. Trials are things that we would rather avoid if at all possible. James wants his readers to understand that a right response to the trials that will come will strengthen their faith. And what is that right response to trials? Well, James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And the answer to what is the right response to trials is joy. James wants them to know that they are, when a trial comes, they are to consider it or count it pure joy that that trial has entered their life. That seems kind of weird, kind of strange, that when a trial comes into our life, that we're supposed to view it as pure joy or all joy. James here is not talking about a joy that is a silly, happy, laughing reaction to trials. Instead, James wants these believers to consider it pure joy that God is allowing this trial to enter their lives. For us, joy is not a natural reaction to trials. I'm guessing for you, joy is not even in the top 10 of the emotions that come into your life when a trial happens. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what is joy? What is this joy that we are supposed to have? How do we respond with joy to a trial? A pastor has said about joy, and he says it this way, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the world and in the Word and in the world. And I think that's a good way to look at joy, that it's something that God gives to us. Joy is a confidence that God produces in us through our relationship in Jesus, where we trust him completely. Joy trusts God in his sovereign working in our lives. And so when trials come, we can have joy. And it may not mean that you stand facing that trial with a smile on your face and a laugh, but it means you have joy that trusts and rests in God. Because God is sovereignly working in each of our lives. God is at work. He's using these trials in our lives to conform us to the image of his Son. Therefore, when a trial comes into our lives, we should respond with joy, because in that trial, God is using that trial to mold you, to shape you into what he wants you to be, which is to reflect his son more fully. Responding to trials with joy does not mean, as I said, that we have a forced smile on our face. It may not be the case. Joy does not ignore pain, nor does it ignore suffering. Joy flows from a knowledge that God is at work. Joy flows from trust in the all-powerful, all-knowing God. When we meet trials of various kinds, we may indeed shed tears. We may indeed have questions and feel as though life is out of our control. Trials can be uncomfortable and painful, and they may prompt us to be worried, fearful, or frustrated with the situation. While trials in our life may come in different shapes and sizes for each of us, our response must be joy. Again, that joy is rooted in who we are in Christ and what God is doing in and through us through his sovereign working. James here speaks of trials of various kinds, and the point he's making here is not that these about what kind of trial they might encounter, but rather how one will respond to the many various trials that will come. Our response to trials that come must be rooted in Jesus Christ. Our response to trials must be joy rooted in Jesus Christ. God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020 through your joyful response to the trials that will come. Secondly, in verse 3, we see God will strengthen your faith by producing endurance in us. In verse 3, James says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020 by producing endurance in you. The trials that we will face in life, maybe in 2020, are for the purpose of testing our faith in God. We are tested to see the genuineness of our faith. Will we fight for faith, or will we give up and look for the quickest exit? In testing us, God is not seeking to know if we are truly converted or not. Instead, God is seeking to refine us and refine our faith in him. The testing removes all worthless things and strengthens what is of value in our lives. The testing is not meant to hurt. The testing, the trials, are meant to refine and meant to make us more like Christ. James believes that these trials are used by God to grow our faith. That's the idea there. He says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." That steadfastness is produced only through trials, only through the tests that come. Now, trials are different than temptations. Some people have gotten the two mixed up and use them as the same thing. But they're different. Trials are different than temptations. God allows trials to come into our lives for the purpose of strengthening our faith. Temptations come, and as they come, we have a choice to trust God or to sin. James 1:13 says that God does not tempt anyone to sin. So when we are tempted to sin, that does not come from God. He is not tempting you to sin. And in the trials that come into our lives, we must remember that it is not God trying to trip us up, trying to look for a way to make us fail. Instead, the trial is for the purpose of strengthening our faith. There in verse 3, James says, "For you know." In saying know, K-N-O-W, James is connecting what he is going to say with what he has just said in verse 2. They know that trials are to produce endurance or steadfastness, and therefore they can respond with joy. The knowledge of what a trial produces enables us to respond rightly to trials, and that's with joy. As we go through life and experience trials, we will come to know that it is God who is at work in us through the trials. We can rejoice in God's working in us through the trials, even though that trial may be uncomfortable, that trial may be painful, but we can rejoice in knowing that this is part of God's wonderful, sovereign, good plan for our lives. We can respond with joy to trials because we know what they're producing. We know that God wants to produce endurance in us. It doesn't make the trial less uncomfortable. It doesn't make the trial less painful. It doesn't make the trial any shorter. Rather, it helps to have a correct perspective through the trial, knowing that through this trial, God is working in me to conform me to the image of His Son. So we can respond to the various trials that will come in our lives, whether this year or next year or the year after, we can respond with joy to those trials because we know what they're producing. They're producing endurance to strengthen our faith. James tells his readers also in verse 3 that the testing produces steadfastness there at the end. And the steadfastness or endurance is probably a better word for what he's seeking to communicate. He's seeking to communicate the idea of standing under something for a long period of time, not looking for a way of escape, but standing strong, standing firm under that trial, under that test. The testing of faith through a trial produces endurance. As I said, endurance is holding up under pressure. And it's rather than seeking an escape, an exit route, it confidently, joyfully trusts God and stands firm under that trial, knowing that this is part of God's plan. A truly converted follower of Jesus will endure trials while resting in Jesus by faith. It doesn't mean we'll understand the trial. We may not understand the why behind the trial, but we will trust in Jesus and endure. There is an understanding within the soul that God is at work for our good and not our downfall in that trusting of God. As I was thinking about this idea of steadfastness or endurance, one of the things that came to my mind, maybe something that comes to your mind, but as we look around us in the country, we see these many wind turbines. And I was thinking about those wind turbines this week. I drove by a few of them. These wind turbines stand firm, enduring all various kinds of weather, snow, as we had this week, high winds, as we're known to have in Iowa. It stands through storms, thunderstorms, and they stand firm. And it was when I was thinking about this endurance of standing through a trial, I thought, well, those wind turbines are a good example of how we should stand firm and endure the trials. That the wind will beat, the rain comes, the snow comes, the wind blows, and those wind turbines stand. Now, I realize it's not a perfect picture because, as you see, once in a while they're out there fixing something on those wind turbines and they're out there replacing parts, and so it's not a perfect picture, but I think it's a helpful picture of an object that is steadfast, that endures what may come its way. In 2020, God wants to strengthen your faith by producing endurance in you. He wants you to endure trials that will come. Number 3, in verse 4, we see God will strengthen your faith by maturing you spiritually. James commands his readers here to let steadfastness have its full effect. Trials are not to be avoided or escaped. God intends to use the trials in our lives for our benefit. You ever think about that? That the trials that you have faced in life, or the trials that may come in 2020, that they're there for your benefit? I don't think that I generally respond to trials with that perspective, that God is using it for my benefit, for my help, for my good. But that's exactly the purpose that God has in trials for his children. And because this is true, we can endure trials. As humans, we do not enjoy pain or difficulty in life. Rather, we seek ease and comfort. Trials, though, threaten the desire for ease and comfort. And a natural response to trials for us as humans is to seek escape or avoidance. But rather, God wants to use that trial in our lives to mature us in Jesus. He wants our faith to grow deep in who he is and in his word. And trials are one way that he does this. And therefore, we should respond with joy to the trials that come to our life. Not every trial is huge and massive, but every trial God is using to mold us into the image of his son. The full effect of the trials is Christ-likeness, as James says here in verse 4. He says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The full effect, the completion of the trial, what God is working in you, is through that trial you will become more like Christ than you were before that trial began. The trial will refine us and remove the sin and unwanted habits so that we will image Jesus more clearly. My guess is that if I asked you, if I sat each one of you down and asked you, do you desire to image Jesus more clearly to your family and the people around you? My guess is you would all say yes. So, would you say yes if I said, all right, you're going to have this trial? Probably none of us would say yes because we know trials are uncomfortable and we know trials are painful. But trials are there to help us to image Jesus more clearly. James says there, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be complete or perfect, lacking in nothing." What he is trying to communicate to these believers and to us is that endurance under trials is how we are matured spiritually. The word perfect there in our Bibles is the word for mature. And so when we face these trials, they're there to perfect us, to mature us in Jesus. And we should not seek to run from these trials, but instead we should receive them with joy, rooted in Jesus, because that trial is going to mature us spiritually. Suffering helps mature us in Jesus. James seeks to point to the truth that when we endure trials, God matures us. The problem is, too many of us, myself included, do not like trials of life. And we seek the quickest exit. All right, God, you brought this trial into my life. How can I get out of it? What can I do to learn what I need to learn and get out? It's like a class. We're trying to learn what we have to learn just to be done. But sometimes the trial is long. Sometimes the trial takes a while. But if we seek an exit, we miss the opportunity to mature in our relationship with Jesus. When we seek an exit from a trial, our growth in Christ is stunted. James also uses the word complete to express the maturing process. It's not that the person who endures trials will be sinless, but that they have all they need to endure the trial in Jesus. That's very important. The trial that you may face in 2020, in Jesus, you have all that you need. When trials come into our lives, they are there to mature us and to complete our character so that it matches Jesus. As we grow in the likeness of Jesus, we will realize we have no need for anything. God wants to strengthen your faith by maturing you spiritually in 2020. this morning as we close, I want to remind you of what our big idea was. Our big idea from this passage this morning is that God wants to strengthen your faith in 2020. God wants to deepen your faith in him in this coming year. And he may choose to bring a trial into your life to do just this. But that trial was brought about through his sovereign purpose. God may choose to deepen your faith in a different way. We must remember that God is sovereign over all of life. God is in complete control over all of your life. We must remember that. God is using the good and God is using the difficult in your life to conform you to the image of his son, Jesus. While we do not know what lies ahead for any of us in 2020, we must believe that God wants to strengthen our faith. As we saw, God will strengthen our faith through our joyful response to trials, by producing endurance in us, and by maturing us spiritually in Jesus. When trials come in 2020, will your faith deepen in God, or will you seek an escape? Will you respond with joy or with complaining? Will you trust God as he shapes you into the image of his son Jesus? As we close, I want to leave you with just a few takeaway things this morning as I hope by grace you have strong faith for 2020. First, strong faith begins with knowing and believing in the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Have you done this? This is where strong faith begins. Strong faith begins at the gospel. Strong faith in God begins with faith in God alone, in Christ alone. Strong faith begins at the gospel. Second, as we look to 2020, you may have some anxiety as to how the year will unfold, what will lay ahead. Will you trust God and rest in him, believing he is sovereignly working out his plan for you and your family? Strong faith trusts our great sovereign God. And third, as you face what God has for you in the coming year, will you pray now, asking God to enable you by his grace to respond with joy to what he has for you in the future? Will you pray now and pray that God will enable you to trust him as you go forward with the new year? Strong faith responds with joy in Jesus in the face of trials. Father God, thank you for the gospel. Father God, thank you for Jesus dying in our place for our sin on the cross and rising again. Father, we have so much to be thankful for just in talking about Jesus' work for us on the cross and through the empty grave. Father, I pray that if there's one here this morning who doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would talk to someone nearby, talk to myself, and begin that relationship with you through repentant faith. And Father, I pray for the rest of us that you would strengthen our faith, that you would grow our faith in 2020. Strengthen us as the year goes on and as we face the good and the difficult. Help us to respond with joy when we face trials. Help us to remember that through the trials, you are producing endurance in us. Father, thank you for your grace that you will give as we look to this new year and we look to you strengthening our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer for communion, let's stand. I want you to sing the first verse of Day by Day.